We talked last week. Was it last week we kind of broke down this documentary? Untold Crime and Penalties on Netflix. The story of the Danbury Trashers, a minor league hockey team, which it's one of the best sports documentaries I've ever seen. It was awesome. And it's the story of this minor league team that was run by a 17-year-old named A.J. Galante. A.J. is not 17 anymore, and he's on our phone line now. The Buyers Barricade ticket hotline, as a matter of fact. A.J., do you read me? Over.
Yes, sir. How you doing?
How's, hey, man.
How you guys doing?
Awesome. I'm Dan. This is Jake.
Hey, A.J.
Hey, fellas. How you doing? Thanks
Good
for the time.
Good times. Man, love that documentary. I went since that, I've gone back and seen that Sports Illustrated did a little 15-minute mini doc on you a few years ago, and you've been called here and there for different interviews by, but I got to imagine this thing's blowing it up all over again, huh?
Oh, I mean, it's the whole thing is just so surreal. I mean, you know, when the producers, the Way Brothers and Netflix approached us about doing this doc, you know, they approached us in late 2018 to do this, and they started filming about 2 years ago. And, you know, the only reason me and my father decided to do it was kind of we thought we were going to put the story to bed, kind of. You know what I mean? Kind of for us, for our legacy, et cetera. But, I mean, it's just taken on a life of its own again. It's actually surreal what's going on right now.
Let me ask you this, behind the scenes. You get paid, but do you get paid more once it blows up, or did you just kind of get paid, you know, hey, you do this and we'll pay you this, or, you know, based on downloads or eyeballs? Because I'm thinking this thing has gotten bigger than they thought it would get.
Well, you know what? I've never been known to be the best businessman in the world, to be honest with you. We just like to do things. I mean, we did get a little bit up front, nothing life-changing, obviously, but no, you know, we don't really have a deal that happens after, you know, viewership or whatever. I think what can come to us is what we're dealing with right now is these merchandise orders and everything going on right now is just totally unbelievable. So it comes back to you one way or the other. And, you know, like I said, we really wanted to do this, you know, kind of for a legacy thing. And it's just been incredible.
This is A.J. Galante. He was the general manager of the Danbury Trashers when he was 17. It's such a wild ride, I'm sure, for you now to have people consuming your personality through a documentary. I've always thought that would make me really, really nervous because I'm going to be honest. I think we're about the same age. When I first saw you and didn't know the story, I saw you on screen. I'm like, this kid is going to F this up tremendously. Like, his dad's rich. He bought his son like a toy and he doesn't know what he's doing. And an hour and a half later, I'm like, this guy nailed this. Like, at 17 years old, I feel like you were really somehow prepared to handle this operation.
Well, I'll tell you, you know, that's probably been the most humbling reaction I've seen. Because to go back to what you first said, it was definitely, you know, when you put yourself and your life out there on Front Street, you know, it's a definitely very, you know, it's a vulnerable thing. And, no, definitely, you know, it was kind of all fun and games until the day before the doc was going to premiere. Then I started worrying, like, oh, God, what's going to come of this? And, no, I got to say, that's probably been the most humbling thing is people said the same thing is, hey, listen, we thought this kid was going to be a joke, a punk, and he ended up being an okay guy. I mean, that's probably the greatest compliment I've ever gotten. And, you know, I tell people, you know, I was a big, you know, still am a big pro wrestling fan. And to be honest with you, I mean, what you saw on screen was me, obviously, especially at a young age. That was me. But I knew when my dad, you know, kind of handed this team off, I knew I was going to get a lot of stuff from people. I think, you know, all the kids spoiled. Like you just said, giving this kid a toy. And I knew I was going to get that no matter how good of a job I could do. So I really amplified the personality because I think we became one with the team, me and my father, and people wanted to see us lose just because of me sometimes. So it brought eyeballs to the league. It brought eyeballs to the team. When we went away for away games, you know, the home team sold a lot of tickets. So, I wouldn't say I was too prepared. You know, the whole thing was so crazy and we just winged it the whole way. And, you know, we caught lightning in a bottle.
Yeah. I would have thought, okay, the way you modeled this team, it was clearly because you were such a big Slapshot fan, but it turns out, much like Jake, you're a lot of your life, like, you were highly influenced by the Mighty Ducks.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was a huge, I mean, again, I knew nothing about hockey. You know, growing up where we grew up, you know, where I am now still, I mean, we weren't a hockey hotbed back in the early 90s, obviously. We didn't even have an ice arena. So when we, my mom took me one weekend to just go to the movies. I remember it was like a rainy weekend, and she just wanted to, you know, get us out of the house. And I didn't even know about the Mighty Ducks. And then when I watched it, I don't know, something about that flying V, man. It was, it got me hooked, and that started the spark.
You combine the Bash Brothers with WWE, and you're going to get, I guess, the sort of team you created because, yeah, I'm very jealous. You got to basically live out my dream as a kid watching the WWF and the Mighty Ducks.
Oh, man. I mean, wrestling was my first love, and it still is a love of mine. And, no, I mean, you know, we just all knew early on when we had this team, I mean – we're like, we need to bring an entertainment value. I mean, this is a blue collar town where we're at. I mean, people, you know, they work hard. I mean, how are we going to get them to spend $20 a ticket on a game? You know, and we definitely wanted to bring an entertainment value, you know, to our fans. And like I said, I mean, just all the stars seem to align for us.
Well, signing Brent Gretzky was, I don't know, it was brilliant because you're signing a Gretzky. but then yeah. I know you actually signed some actual NHL players, or at least one, during the lockout.
Sure, yeah.
But then I heard later that you, who were you on the verge of signing? Did you almost get Sean Avery? Sean Avery was here for a little while in Dallas. And
yes, I know. I mean, people ask me all the time if I have any regrets with things that went on those two seasons. My biggest regret was not, we just... for whatever the reason, we couldn't make that happen. Believe it or not, Sean Avery was playing with the Detroit Red Wings during the lockout. And, you know, during the lockout, he ended up skating for a team in our league, the Motor City Mechanics. And, you know, I've always, you know, like I said, love him, hate him. He brings eyeballs. And I'm like, we need to get Sean Avery by any means necessary. I mean, he was born for this. You know, he was born to be a trasher. And, we were close. It was at the trade deadline, believe it or not. We were very close, but, I mean, I don't know, for whatever the reason, it didn't pan out. But, man, he was – it's probably better for his career he didn't come to Danbury, because Lord knows what would have happened.
You almost got Donald Brashear? Is that true?
Donald, yeah, we got – oh, man. So, you know, bringing it back to video games, I mean, growing up, I would always stack – you know, I'm a New Jersey Devil fan, so I'd always stack the Devils with the toughest guys in the game, and I would always – and honestly, it sounds sick, but it kind of was like living out a virtual reality video game. I mean, I was trying, when we knew the lockout was officially done for the whole year, we tried to get Donald Brashear, Georges Laroque, just a goon squad. It would have been a total waste of money because no one would have fought these guys, but just to see them out there would have been something else.
So, AJ Galante, this is our guest, if you're just tuning in, former GM of the Danbury Trashers when he was 17 years old. His dad bought the team, gave him control. Not in the documentary, but I've come to learn that, you know, you kind of had a feeling that this was going to happen. Your dad had mentioned something about buying a hockey team and putting you in charge, but I thought the documentary kind of embellished it to where you just... It painted a picture of you showing up at school one day and everybody saying, hey, what's going on? And you were completely surprised by the fact that your dad bought a hockey team and put you in charge. Would you agree that they embellished that a little bit? And I was wondering if they embellished anything else that we need to know about.
No, I'll be honest with you. That definitely is not an embellishment. What happened was, it was a Sunday. I'll never forget. It was March of 2004. It was a Sunday at dinner. My dad nonchalantly told me he was going to start a minor league hockey team in the fall. And I thought he was playing around with me a little bit. So I was playing around with him back. And he said to me, hey, listen, I'm going to make you the president of the team. I need someone I could trust and we'll make the moves together, you know, beep, bop, bop. So I agreed just jokingly, cause I thought he was joking with me. So I was just, you know, oh, okay, dad, sure. No, you know, that sounds great. Whatever you say. That was literally our conversation. That was my job interview with him. And then it was literally a week later in school where it came out in the local paper. So that was definitely true. I mean, we didn't speak about it from that time at dinner to when the paper came out. He just assumed, hey, he told me he'll do it, so we're going to do it. So definitely not an embellishment. And I got to be honest with you. You know, obviously no reason to lie about it, but seriously, there wasn't really, it was like 99% accurate, I got to tell you. It was, which is kind of scary to believe because a lot of people think a lot of things were made up or whatever, but really it was, that's how crazy it really was.
You were a go-getter at 17 though. I don't know that I could have handled that. You were going to college then and coming back for spring break and making trades and then going back to college, like... How?
Yeah, I don't know, man. I mean, it's kind of like, I don't know. I mean, you know, look, I get a lot of credit and you know, I did put in a lot of work, but, you know, it wasn't just me. We had a great team around us and it was all of us. But no, I mean, my dad told me that I had to do it. So that's what it was. You know, I mean, you know, I listened to, you know, we just made it happen. It was crazy though. It was, I would spend a lot of times in class just putting trade proposals in my book and, you know, trying to figure out when I get out of class how to make it happen. I mean, it was literally it was literally like that. I mean, it's insane. You know, as I get older, I'm 35 now. I look back and I'm just like, wow, that really was pretty crazy. But that's how it was, man. It's crazy.
I think I would be fascinated by your life, AJ, even without the hockey stuff, because I read an article where you said that you didn't watch The Sopranos when it came out. And the article somewhat invokes the show, and, you know, your name is AJ. So I always wonder, like, what degree of what's going on you're aware of when you're a little kid? And then more specifically, did the team, like, did the guys know, like, okay, possibly there's something not totally above the board going on here, but we don't really care?
Yeah, you know, listen, I mean, where we're from here in the Northeast, I mean, it's just, you know, there's a lot of things. If the media sticks you, you know, if they label you something, that's kind of how it is. I mean, listen, my dad doesn't proclaim to be an altar boy or a saint. But, you know, I mean, sometimes things get amplified. But, you know, seriously, where we come from, you know, the tri-state area, I mean, there's a million cases like that. You know, everyone seems to know someone that knows someone. And, you know, listen, the guys, I don't think... Look, they knew they were getting paid well. I don't think they were asking many questions. But honestly, I mean, I'll be honest with you. I mean, you know, we might have taken it. We allegedly took it to a whole nother degree. But most of the teams were, you know, doing similar things. But, you know, that's, hey, you know, some people get caught, some people don't. But, you know, if you look at the salary cap, I mean, you're essentially asking a grown man or a young player to survive if you break it down on like $100 a week. You know what I mean? So we kind of took that as that's disrespectful to the player. And we always wanted to make sure anyone who came to Danbury knew that we had their back and they'd be taken care of. And we'd expect the same on the ice.
And I'm sure the finances are part of it, but it seemed to me like you actually had a really good relationship with a lot of these dudes who were, I don't know, between what, 5 and 10 years older than you. And they respected you.
Well, yeah, I mean, it was important to me. I mean, I wasn't, I'm not stupid. You know, during those years, I was, 17, 18 years old in those seasons, and I'm not stupid. I know these guys are grown, some of them way older than me. Some of them, you know, I'm not going to tell a grown man what he can and can't do, especially when I haven't done it. I mean, I peaked at, high school hockey, you know? So, I mean, I found ways to earn their respect. I mean, seriously, I mean, it was like middle school. These guys would sleep over the house sometimes. We'd be playing PlayStation all night long. You know what I mean? I mean, there was a fine balance, but they did have, you know, I believe majority of them learned to respect me, and it goes both ways. I mean, they earned my respect too. And, you know, but I knew at a young age, I'm not going to sit here and start, you know, pointing fingers and yelling and shouting and demanding things from them. I could never do that. So we found different ways to connect. And, you know, it was really fun, man. I still to this day, you know, we talk to a lot of the guys and it's great. You know, they have so much pride with this Netflix documentary just to say they played on the team. And it makes me so happy to see all these guys, you know, feeling good about, you know, that time in their life.
A feature in the documentary was your 11th birthday party, where your dad hired a bunch of wrestlers to come to your party, including The Rock. You met The Rock when you were 11, before he was really the guy we know now?
Yeah, well, it was before, I don't know, if it was like a year later, I don't know if we would have been able to swing that. I mean, it was right before he became The Rock, so he was like a mid-card guy, Rocky Maivia. Triple H wasn't Triple H yet, he was Hunter Hearst Helmsley, and, you know, it was right before wrestling truly in those late 90s, it was right before it literally exploded, and, the timing was just right. They actually had a event that day. The night of my birthday party, they had an event in New Haven, Connecticut, about 40 minutes south of us. And my father's a friend with an old professional wrestler, Captain Lou Albano. And for whatever the reason, they were able to make it work. And, yeah, they came to the birthday party. I mean, to this, I got to tell you, more people ask me about The Rock than the document. You know, with the documentary, more I'm like, look, I'm not friends with him. I can't get you an autograph. I don't even know if this guy would even remember. But no, I mean, it was a wild ride. I mean, every time we see him in the movies, my mom will look at me and be like, hey, he was in our backyard. Isn't that weird? So it truly was crazy.
I heard China ate a lot.
Oh, forget it. I mean, she first of all, she was the best out of all of them. She was the funniest, and they were all great, but she was the funniest, and man, let me tell you something. I mean, those bodybuilders, man. I mean, she ate, no joke, and I've said it before, and I'm sticking to this number because it's what I remember. She ate at least 9 hamburgers, and I was just like, Jesus. I mean, mod on. This woman could eat. It was crazy. I'll never forget it.
That's awesome, man. So are you out selling merch now? You know, Danbury Trashers? I'm sure everybody needs a sweater.
Well, you know, thankfully, I re-trademarked the logo last year because I knew the Netflix thing was coming out. We have this little thing. You know, we're on dbtrashers.com. Everything is sold out at the moment. We're currently restocking. I mean, the vendors, I mean, I just printed a stack of probably 500 orders yesterday. It's insane. But we're working on getting jerseys out, shirts, hats, you know, the whole 9 yards. And, you know, a lot of ex-NHL players, enforcers even, I mean, have been reaching out to me and saying thank you, because it's kind of like that style of hockey is gone in a way. And for them, it's kind of like, you know, revisiting, you know, good, you know, better times for them. So we've been working on getting some of the old enforcers some jerseys and stuff like that. And hopefully the logo becomes a symbol for more than just, you know, an old hockey team.
The logo, and that's a team name you didn't even like at the beginning, right? You hated it.
I didn't. No, that's you did your research. That's good. Yeah, no, I didn't. And, you know, and it was funny. My dad said, no, we're going to name it the Trashers. And I'm like, the Trashers. And I understood why. I mean, he, you know, that was his business. But I hated the name. I'm like, this is never going to work. And, you know, but when I did see the logo, that Scrappy, the trash can, I was like, okay, we may have something actually here. So, No, but I didn't like the name at first, and then thankfully he went with his gut.
Going to ask you for one more thing, man, which is a radio liner. We would like you to identify yourself, you know, maybe as former GM of the Trashers, and then say, I never listened to Dan and Jake on the Ticket.
Okay, that sounds good. You want me to say that? I'll say it for you.
Yeah, let's go.
All right. This is it. Hey, how you guys doing? This is AJ Galante, former GM of the Danbury Trashers, and I never, ever, ever, ever listen to my guy Dan and Jake on the Ticket.
A pro.
You're awesome, man. Love the documentary.
Good luck with the gym.
And, yeah, maybe we'll talk to you in the future, huh?
Hey, listen, real quick, I got family out there in McKinney, Texas. I want to give a quick shout-out to Vlad, Liz, Aiden, Justin, Alexa, Kylie, Jacob, and Coco, my two nephews, Aiden and Justin, are big football players in McKinney. One of them's in McKinney Boyd High School. He's a cornerback, and one's a running back at Cockrell Middle School. So look out for them. They're coming up down there.
Will do. Right. Let us know if you're ever in town.
Yeah, we'll buy stock in them.
Well, you bet. Yeah, you got it, man. You got it. And I may have to come down there for one of the games. So we got to meet you guys.
Yeah, if you do, come, you know, hit up Blake, our producer, and we'll do it. We'll get you in here.
Yeah, have Blake send me some sizes. I got to get you guys some jerseys.
Oh,
okay,
perfect.
Cool. And you reciprocate that. Give Blake your size. Tell us right now. We'll get you some ticket gear.
I've been eating. You know, my wife's been cooking good, so I'm between a large and extra large. So whatever you guys pick, whatever works.
All right, we'll err on the side of extra.
All right, yeah, that probably will work.
All right, AJ.
Thanks, AJ.
Thanks, man.
All right, fellas. Thank you.
Good dude.
What a delight.
Awesome.
Former Navy SEAL Sean Ryan shares real stories from real people from all walks of life on The Sean Ryan Show. Comedian John Crist.
How long have you been in Nashville? Let's see, 2018 is when I moved here. I lived in an apartment. I didn't know anything about it. I lived in L.A.
You were living in L.A.? How was that?
Yeah. Let's see. Good for my career. Send me to rehab, though. So that's pretty much the sum of it.
The Sean Ryan Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.